The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. We'll probably talk a little Rockets today. We'll probably talk a little NCAAs. God knows what else. Let's just do it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975, and of course you can text the show, 713-780-3776, and it's a Tuesday. Usually everybody's in a bad mood, but man, it's a beautiful day out. No reason to be in a bad mood. Let's have some fun today. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. I was just bumming about the Texans and what the Texans are doing, and I'm starting to get confused and maybe a little frustrated with what's going on with them.
Okay.
And when Ode Abuse got away, I was like, okay, not the end of the world. It's not like he did start 8 games last year.
Yeah.
And he was depth on their offensive line, which is something that I've been saying they need more of, not less of.
Right.
And I saw that the guy got $975,000. Like, the Texans weren't willing to ante up a mil for a guy that played half their games at left guard last year. Doesn't that seem odd?
It does seem odd. That's not enough money to really impact your cap. You're not going to find a lot of guys at that price who can
actually had some experience in your system, who can play. I mean, it's not like Ode Abuse is some game-changing guy. Like, they're going to suddenly not be good because they don't have him. But you're better with him. And I thought, maybe, like, when I first heard that he signed with the Seahawks, I assumed that, well, the Seahawks are trying to revamp their line. Maybe they threw $4 million at the dude, and yeah, that makes sense. Less than a mil? $775,000 is his salary. $200K signing bonus and a $500,000 playtime incentive. Like, so if he plays a certain amount of games.
So basically, the Texans just said we don't want him.
Yeah. It's what have the Texans said? You know what? We want that this offseason. Literally nothing, right?
The only thing they did was, hey, we want to get rid of this quarterback that we screwed up last year.
They've lost a lot.
Yeah, and they've added nothing.
They've added nothing. I don't get it. Like, at some point, you got to do something. At least re-sign one of your guys.
Wait. They kept Ryan Griffin. I almost forgot.
Okay, well, that's something, I guess.
Yeah, so your tight end crew is set again for next year.
Just a strange, I don't know, I guess it just seems... It seems weird to me that they've done literally nothing.
Well, and I think from a fan's perspective, you got to be getting a little bit frustrated with this, Texans fan, that you're just going to let all these guys walk. And you know, look, the good teams let people walk. Everybody does it. But they also go out and get players. Like, Patriots have gone out and got players. They're going to lose some guys, but they've gone out and got players. And I just... It seems like they're just asleep over there. It really does. It's just like, oh, we're just going to hang around. And oh, offensive line, not a problem. We're okay. Are you?
Like I said, I mean, it's one thing for you to let go of guys who, you know, who are asking for too much money whatever.
I'm totally okay with letting A.J. Bouye walk.
Yeah, I
no,
got
no
that
problem
too.
With that at all. And I get.
But, okay, let's throw this out there. And you mentioned Ryan Griffin. Ryan Griffin got a 3-year, $9 million deal. But you're not willing to pay Abuse less than a mil? So you're paying your backup tight end $3 million, but a guy that started 8 games for you at left guard isn't worth $1 million?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. I'm guessing that they feel like, okay, if Nick Martin comes back and plays, that Mance played pretty well for him, and there's some depth now in the interior. But I mean, not that he's any great shakes. And, of course, they re-sign, as A32 points out, they re-sign Leckler and Novak. No, you brought back your kicker and punter.
Well, yeah.
But I just think the whole – that's just not an area that I'd let erode.
Did they re-sign those guys or did they extend them?
I think they extended them.
I don't think either was a total free agent.
Yeah, I could be wrong about that. But I look and I see guys still out there that they should at least be contacting. I don't even know that they're doing it.
Well, I mean, eventually the market dries up. You know, there's only so many guys out there that are available. And I understand they don't have the most money to spend in the offseason. I get that. They have spent, as I mentioned, $9 million. Two teams have spent less than them, the Bengals at 8.83, the Steelers at 6.45. But
the Steelers also were more interested in re-signing their own guys.
Well, the Jags have spent $168 million this offseason.
Wow.
And not to say that that's going to make them better than the Texans, but your remaining free agents, too, the free agents that are Texans free agents, I don't know that any of them need to be back. Vince Wilfork, Akeem Dent, Antonio Smith, Jonathan Grimes, Devin Still, Don Jones, David Quesenberry. You need any of those guys back?
No.
Okay.
No.
So at some point, you got to fill out a 53-man roster, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, you're talking – I mean, you've got a lot of – for a team that doesn't seem to really know how to draft that well, you've got a lot of rookies playing next year. You've got a lot of undrafted free agents on the team next year because you're running out of guys to sign.
Yeah, I don't know what the thought process is. I mean, there should be a plan, right? I mean, is the whole plan, well, we're just going to wait and spend what we have to on Tony Romo and then address depth? Is that your plan?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I guess that's the plan. I guess you wait to figure out how the Tony Romo thing pans out before you do anything else major. But, I mean, man, there's some things that aren't
re-signing a guy like that is not a major move.
No.
And it's just okay, there's a
quality
depth
guy. And those are the little
guy.
Moves that make your team a little bit better. You know, if it were a defensive tackle or something like that, like a rotational guy, maybe I wouldn't have minded so much. But I think because it's on the offensive line, I'm sensitive to it.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that just keeps – I don't understand why they haven't addressed that particular unit at all.
Because it's all part of the plan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heath.
Thanks, Bob McNair.
I think they're doing fine.
That's Rich Smith, maybe.
But and it seemed to me that there were, well, I'll just say that I think their offseason so far has been a complete failure, with the exception of getting rid of Osweiler, because there were two things that we talked about that needed to be addressed. One was you've got to find somebody else on that offensive line and not just depend on, okay, I'll have these guys back healthy next year, because I don't think you can count on Derek Newton at all. And, you know, Nick Martin, we don't know. We think he can play. We don't know. And then you had to fix your offensive coordinator position. Well, they fixed that by having the head coach call the plays. I'm going to consider that a fail. Unless he shows me something he's never shown me as a head coach, that's not a good move. So to do nothing with this offensive line right now, because there's no guarantee a rookie is, you know, even if you do get a really good player at 25, there's no guarantee that they're going to be good right off the bat. Offensive linemen, it's not easy when you first get in the league. There's very few guys that step right in, like the Cowboys guys did, and play well. Maybe you get one of those, but the odds are against it.
Don't you have a feeling that, like, a thing that the Texans might do this offseason is sign someone that has a name that is past their prime and that's what they think will make fans feel better about not doing much else.
I don't think they
a la Ed Reed.
Yeah, I don't know that they care about what the fans think. When they rarely make moves that,
maybe
to keep the fans happy, and
I'm just surprised that they've done nothing. I keep thinking that something's going to pop up. They'll sign. I mean, maybe Nick Mangold they'll bring in on a cheap deal. Maybe they'll bring in like Chris Chester, a veteran. But maybe I don't know. You know, just anybody. But
Mangold's an interesting name to me because he can still play.
Yeah,
and that would certainly help that interior. And again, now you'd have some depth there to rotate because you would have Martin back. You would have Manson there who played pretty well. So maybe that's the kind of move you make. I think if you get him on a affordable deal, that'd be a shrewd move. But they haven't shown us any inkling. The only guy we know they were in on was Remmers, who went to the Vikings.
Right.
He was supposed to visit here after he went to Minnesota.
They got him to sign before he left, yeah. And good for them.
And for what they're paying him, good luck.
Yeah.
And he would have been an upgrade, but he didn't, you know, for that kind of money, you're all right going to Minnesota. I don't mind. But I would like to see him do something, man. It is frustrating. And especially when you consider that, you know, all those pieces that they have in place, your window's getting smaller and smaller. It really is. And I think they should be in win now mode. There should be a sense of urgency, which this team rarely shows.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I would expect them to do it now.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. As the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Call the pros at Allied to get yourself ready for the summer. You can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay, which will give you the look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. Currently got a blank slate in the backyard? No problem. Allied will build it from the ground up. From a functional concrete patio to the outdoor kitchen and patio cover you've been dreaming of, they can do it all. They can help you with residential and commercial projects, and they'll help you save money. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. They're a certified ICIP installer since 2010. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It also works for the text line. And let's get some phone calls in. Let the people weigh in. Rivers.
You sure that you want to do this early?
Yeah, I do. I do. Because,
okay.
It's gonna be good today, man. I feel it.
Okay, if you say so.
Rivers, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Yo.
What you got?
How you guys doing today?
We're good. We're sports. What's up, man?
Hey, you guys say y'all got a problem with us letting Abuche go. Abuche played in the first 8 games when our running game was crap. What do y'all want us to do? Like, in the past, we went out and got free agents, and they didn't work out. And y'all,
so what's your plan? Is your plan just to play with 40 dudes, or just play with 15 rookies?
Well, my plan is to draft 2 offensive linemen straight off the rip in the draft.
Okay,
I think they're all better than anything Abuche did.
And then you remember last year when you drafted a rookie in the second round? How many games did he play for you last year?
One rookie. We drafted one rookie.
Right. In the second round, how many games did he play for you last year?
He played none.
None. And then the year before that, you drafted Xavier Suofilo. Would you say he was a positive that year?
I wouldn't say he was a positive that year, but I say he was a positive this year.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure Tony Romo, it's attractive to him knowing that he wants to play behind 2 rookie offensive linemen.
Why is Tony Romo so attractive to you, though?
What's the alternative?
What's wrong with developing a quarterback that we have? Why we can't go with Tom Savage?
Because Tom Savage sucks. First of all, Tom Savage sucks, and he can't stay on the field. He can't stay healthy. Secondly, this team's window is not going to stay open long enough to groom a young quarterback. Who has time for that? Especially one that you're going to get in the 20s with the draft. No one has time to wait around for that.
And if you do that, where are you drafting your offensive lineman?
Don't worry about it. It'll all come, Fred. I mean, come on. I don't think Tony Romo's the end-all, be-all, some kind of a savior. But this team is good enough to win now, and that window is maybe good for 2-3 years. Drafting a rookie quarterback now who might be good 3 years from now, you don't have time for that.
Well, and there's what about Bill O'Brien has told us he can actually develop a quarterback.
Yeah, when have you seen him develop a quarterback? You haven't. I'll go ahead and answer that one for you. You haven't.
Let's try it, David. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Okay, I'm in a debate right now. It's gone on for a couple of days. And I guess he's one of those guys that watches too much Paul Feinbaum show or whatever. And he's trying to debate me that because the SEC has three teams in the Sweet 16 and the ACC only has one, that the SEC is not a weak basketball conference, talking about like the major ones. Where I've been of the argument that out of the major conferences, they're probably the weakest one, I think, for sure. And I was just trying to get y'all's opinion on that and whatever.
The SEC sucks in basketball. Tell your friend he's wrong.
They've had a good run.
They've had some good. They've had some good teams playing. I mean, but if you really think South Carolina's good, I mean, I'd love for you to be my bookmaker.
The thing is, I double down. So that's a good call for 420. If you think Savage is the answer,
that's what I don't get. People who still believe in Tom Savage. Good Lord. I mean, how many times do you have to get kicked in the nuts to realize what this guy is?
And these are the same people who are bitching about they don't want Tony Romo because he's brittle.
We'll go with Tom Savage.
Tom Savage, who hasn't been able to stay on the field in his 3-year career. He's been hurt every year.
Usually in the first game.
713-780-ESPN.
Savage fools everybody because just like these other guys, he just like Ryan Mallett, just like Brock Osweiler, he looks good in pads. I mean, he looks like a football player, so he convinces everyone. But
pretty good text today so far. I agree. AJ Romo makes their eventual loss to New England next January a lot closer.
I mean, it does realistically.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be able to hang in there until maybe 5 minutes left in the game. 713.
You want to know something crazy about Tom Savage? Everybody loves the dude. What do you think Tom Savage's touchdown to interception ratio for his career is?
Probably about 1-3.
How about 0-1?
Okay.
0-1. He's thrown zero touchdowns ever. Why don't you hand him the keys?
You guys don't remember that Bengals game? How awful the offense was?
Okay. But they won 12-10, Fred.
Yeah, well, okay.
They kicked some sweet field goals that game. And then week 17 he got concussed.
See, I think this is part of the Texans have a lot of fans snowed into thinking that Tom Savage is a possible answer because that's their backup plan if they can't get somebody else. And it's crazy that people buy into that. What have you seen of him on the field? When he's been able to be healthy enough to be on the field, let's start with that.
Yeah.
That shows you he can be a quarterback who can lead you somewhere. He's got a nice arm. That's all I got.
All right.
Nick says it doesn't matter. AFC South champions, Bill O'Brien voice.
I guess so.
Drunk Bevo, daily update on the Texans offseason. Still nothing.
I mean, it's if you don't think that's weird, I don't know what to tell you. And if you really think Ode Abuche was the reason the Texans' running game sucked, you might look at the tall guy under center who basically had 9 guys in the box against him every week. I'd say that played more of a role in them sucking than Ode Abuche did.
Let's try Austin. What's up, Austin?
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Love y'all's show. I know it's a tired subject, but I just wanted to say something again to agree with you guys on the Tony Romo subject. Probably a terrible analogy, but as y'all have said, you know, the window for this team, I think, is now. And regardless of what people think about Romo, his injuries and whatnot, I mean, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And one more thing I'd like to add to that. I do agree with you guys and the Texans, you know, not being great at drafting early round picks, but, you know, I do think maybe we need to pick people in the offensive line and get Romo, you know, trade for Romo and see what happens. I mean, what's the better option?
I still think if you get Tony Romo, you still need to draft a quarterback in the draft. But I mean, if you don't and you're left with Tom Savage and a rookie, and especially assuming they take a rookie with their first round pick,
right?
The kind of player you're going to get is not going to be ready to play this year. He's just not. So, I mean, you're left with a guy who has proven that he can't play more than three games without breaking, and a guy who really shouldn't be playing in the NFL this year. And this is a playoff team that, like, at 21 other positions, they're ready to go to the playoffs. They're ready. They're honestly ready to contend at 21 other positions. But if that's what you've got at quarterback, you're not doing anything. And when I say the window is short, they have two players signed past 2020. One of them's unfortunately Will Fuller. The other's J.J. Watt, who just had major back surgery. Two of them. I mean, you've legitimately got a 2 to 3 year window to make things work with this team, and that's why I think people like the idea of Tony Romo, because he's a guy that, I mean, listen, does he have his drawbacks? Sure, but the last time we saw Tony Romo, he was playing at an elite level. The last time he was healthy, which that's another knock on him, obviously, but at least he gives you that puncher's chance. I mean,
and
you know what this team can do with Tom Savage or Brock Osweiler or that type of player at quarterback.
9-7.
They could probably, well, and that's assuming that the rest of the AFC South doesn't get better.
Right.
But they can probably win the division, compete for the division, and get smoked in the playoffs. And if that's what you're into, okay. I mean, I think if you add a healthy Tony Romo to this team, you've got a team that's legitimately contending in the AFC.
I think that there's no downside to Tony Romo. I mean, what's the worst that happens? He comes in and he snaps, and you're stuck with Tom Savage, who you were thinking about starting anyway. That's your worst case scenario. So why not?
Yeah.
713 says, "Ooh, just like Dak wasn't ready to play, you can't say that no rookie could not come and play."
Okay, well, the one example, and just like Jared Goff wasn't ready to play, was he? I mean, yeah, if you happen to get the one guy that was worth a damn last year, the one rookie that played good ball last year, good on you. And let's go back to the Texans' track record drafting quarterbacks, first of all, and let's get to Bill O'Brien developing these guys. And tell me, what gives you the idea that the Texans would get the right guy?
So the guy, the bad call who called first, says you still haven't given any solutions, just ranting on the Texans. You didn't give any solutions. You had zero solutions. So now you've added worst text of the day to worst call of the day so far. Good job. Quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. 713, who doesn't want Romo, says, "I'm not saying they would pick the right guy. They could get a complete fail, but I'd rather take a chance on a brand new toy rather than waste time and effort and emotions trying to get at an unproven broken Romo.
No, the problem is you kind of need both.
Exactly.
Because and, even if you get Tony Romo, Tony Romo's not a long-term answer. I mean, he's an older guy, and you're right, he's brittle. But you don't want to get a quarterback, you just throw him out there to the – remember David Carr? Remember that guy? Remember when you just threw him out there behind a junk offensive line and said, hey, you're ready, kid, go for it. Remember how that worked out for his career? Don't do that. And if you get Tony Romo, obviously I assume if they get Tony Romo, it's on a 1-2 year deal tops, and it's the kind of a 2 year deal where if he's broken this year, it's pretty non punitive to move on from him next year. But you need to have, like, it needs to be someone penciled in to start week one that is not a trash can backup, which is what that's the only options they've had the last 3 years. And is not a rookie. That's what you need to start week one. And that's why I like the idea of Tony Romo.
And another guy says, and again, there's some good disagreements going on here. Just because Nick Martin got hurt, you guys think that every rookie will. No, I don't think that every rookie will.
But I think it's unrealistic to expect that they can all play day one.
Exactly. And if you're trying to fill all these needs, as you're talking about, okay, you're going to draft a quarterback high, and you're going to draft an offensive lineman high, okay, now you're into the third round where your success rate isn't very good.
And you still don't have a corner.
Yeah. So how are you able to fix all these things? That's my question. How are you able to fix them all?
I don't know. I know people seem to be coming around on Xavier Suofilo. I mean, was he better than he was year one? Yeah. But God, I mean, he couldn't have been worse. I still don't know that he's, you know, an answer long term there either. You know, and
you eventually
have to find a replacement for Dwayne Brown, who's not going to be there forever. You know, there's just a lot of holes to fill, and you only have so many draft picks. Not only that, you gave up a second rounder for next year.
And it's not like your recent draft history is
right.
Anything to write home about. And again, asking those guys to be day one starters is, to me, too much of a gamble. There's very few guys that can walk in and be day one starters. And look, I think Xavier Suofilo turned into at least an NFL player last year. I think he was at least average. And you know, with another year, maybe he should get better. He's never going to be what I thought he was going to be when they drafted him. I thought he was going to be solidifying the inside for the next 8 years for him. He's not going to be that. But that doesn't mean you don't need help on the outside. And you're basically doing the same thing that Dallas did last year. If you do bring in Romo and draft somebody, that guy you're drafting is supposed to be for down the road. And then Kellen Moore got hurt, too, and Dallas was down to that. They went out and got Mark Sanchez. Just so happens that Prescott was better than people thought. And
maybe that's the answer, Mark Sanchez.
God, please. Let's go to Nate. What's up, Nate?
Hi, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
My question is, if you do get Tony Romo maybe even Jay Cutler, if all else fails, is it better to draft a quarterback in the first round? I think we should go with the lineman in this case and maybe draft a quarterback fourth, fifth round, Davis Webb, maybe Nathan Peterman, who has a high ceiling late in the round. But, I mean, what do we do if we do get Tony Romo for a future quarterback? I'll let you answer.
Well, I don't know that I would wait until after the third round to draft a quarterback. I think if the guy you want, even if it is Peterman or Davis Webb, if they're available in the third round, take them there, because I don't want excuses for why you didn't get him, you know, and then, well, once he was gone, we just decided to blow it off. I think that if the best guy on your board, I know that's cliche, best guy available. I think it shouldn't necessarily be the best player available, but for the Texans, it should be the best player available at a position of need. And when I say that, I'm talking quarterback, offensive line, secondary. The best player at one of those three positions available, that's where they should go with their first round pick and play the rest. And honestly, I would use the first three picks I have should be on those three things, in my opinion.
Yeah, now it depends on who's still available. I would say offensive lineman would be my number one priority in that group, and then quarterback. But I wouldn't wait past the second. And there's some guys who will be decent prospects who should go in the second round. And frankly, I think one of these guys that everybody thinks is going to go in the first round is probably going to slide into the second.
It always happens.
And you can go and get them, and boom, there's your project you can develop. That makes everybody happy. And with the guys in front of him, guess what? He's probably going to be on the field next year at some point. Let's try Cody. What's up, Cody?
Hey, sports.
Sports
team. Hey, I was going to ask, the guy beat me two cutlers, but I was going to say, do you think they'd have been better off just go ahead and get Cutler, not waiting on Romo and actually doing something in free agency and then addressing corner in the draft?
I mean, I again, even if they get Cutler, if they get Romo, I don't look at either one of those guys as the long term, the future of quarterback for the Texans. I think you have to look at it as a temporary fix while you develop someone. But if they would have gone, if they could get Cutler now and start building the rest of their team, if that's what's keeping them from retaining the free agents that they've got and adding little pieces here and there, I'm fine with that. And if, you know, again, because I'm not saying commit to Jay Cutler or Tony Romo forever. I'm not saying sign him to a 5-year. I'm not saying sign him to an Osweiler deal. Don't do that.
No.
But they're available. They're there. I mean, Romo's not available yet for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on there anymore.
But these guys are there. And if Cutler is, if he wants a job, he could probably get one. And I'm guessing there's some reason the Texans aren't into him.
Eric, why does everyone think you can just magically draft a guy late and he becomes a starter? Most good quarterbacks are early rounders.
They are.
It's because
Dak Prescott did it.
And Russell Wilson did it.
Yeah. So, you can pick out a couple cherries, and maybe not all of them are rotten. You know, but for the most part, you're right. Anybody drafted after the second round, it's rare for them to have success.
Yeah, I'm just kind of confused by what they're not doing this offseason. And this has kind of been their MO. One year they go out and sign a bunch of guys. And hey, winning free agency doesn't guarantee you anything. Just
of course
the Jaguars. And I'm not saying go out and sign a whole bunch of guys either. I just think that they're, you know, one tackle would make a huge difference. And it's too late to get an impact guy, but there are some depth guys, and you kind of need that. Let's get one more in for the break. NASCAR Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Sportscast.
Sports to you.
Hey, I have a solution. It's not maybe the best solution, but I was going to say first pick this year, address offensive line. The second pick, I would even do another offensive lineman. Maybe trade a third or fourth pick for Romo, just because that way Dallas gets something. So you have Romo with you would still have Osweiler. Basically, the money would be about the same, which you would miss on. And then look at the secondary for in the middle of the draft, and then get something back for Romo, like maybe third, fourth, or fifth next year, because you develop secondary better in the draft then. And then also get a quarterback next year where the quarterback class is a lot better.
Now, that is one thing. That's kind of the other part of me where I'm torn, and I don't want them to use a high draft pick on a quarterback because I don't like any of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And next year, there's probably a lot of quarterbacks coming out that I like. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. These are kids that I'd love the Texans to have.
But there's no way that they'll be picking high enough to get those
probably
guys.
Not.
Having said that, why not draft one every year until you get it right?
I wouldn't be opposed. Well, you can't draft one in the first round
no,
every year.
No, but you can draft them in the second every year.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, you've got to hit, right?
You would think so. But again, I think it comes down to who's developing these guys for you. And,
that's
something you can't draft every year.
I'm not as worried about the secondary because they seem to do a good job of finding these late-round guys.
I think they can, too.
And so that's not as big a concern to me. But they haven't done a good job of finding offensive linemen, and that is a concern. I'd rather have someone who's been successful somewhere else. All right, guys, There's a kid who wants to drop out of school, doesn't know what to do. You know who helps them out? The Houston Can Academies. A lot of times, these are good kids. Maybe it was transportation issues, or they had to get a job to support their family, and so they drop out. Well, Houston Can Academy takes them in, gives them a second chance, and so many of them go on and do great things. And they give them the tools they need to succeed. Some of them need glasses. They do that. They need transportation, free bus passes. That's what they do. And that's why more than ever, they really need your donations. And so many Blitzers have stepped up, and they've all said the same thing. Man, this was fast, it was easy, and I did a great thing. And it's real simple. Whatever your vehicle is, car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, tractor, doesn't matter if it's running or not, they'll tow it free of charge. They'll take care of all the paperwork. You basically just sign. Your donation's tax deductible, which is awesome. When you're doing your taxes next year, you're going to have all that money right off the books, and you're going to be doing a good thing. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, free $50 Visa gift card. Give them a call right now. Make a difference. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Rumors spread around in that Texas town about the Shaq outside the game.
And we're back.
You know what I'm talking about.
Let's Rodeo, Houston. ZZ Top is performing tonight. For just $18, you can see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and carnival fun. Buy your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com for ZZ Top. This is my favorite ZZ Top song.
I love ZZ Top.
In my brief time in L.A. trying to be a rock star, we did a speed metal version of this that just was totally badass. So I'll always love this song. It's probably, it's clearly my favorite.
Okay.
Out of all of them. Yeah, I like Jesus Just Left Chicago, too. That one's up there, but number one on my list. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And Rivers says, when I said draft two linemen, I was a bad caller. No, you were a bad caller because you were trying to say you draft all these guys high. You've got one number one pick. You've got one number two pick. So you draft those guys. Where's your quarterback coming from? You wait until the third round now? And then that's your starting quarterback?
I guess.
I mean, that's not a realistic solution, in my opinion. I think if you're talking about guys who are going to be able to come in and start for you. Now, if you're just adding depth, okay, I'm fine with that. They'll sit on the bench for a couple of years. But realistically, I don't know. For when I said, maybe we should be patient. These guys were able to get rid of Brock. They were. Good move. I give him credit for that. Everything else, I'm a little suspicious of.
And Lamont said, outside of the Pats, name me playoff teams with major free agent activity. And remember, when I'm talking about free agents, you know, he made it act like there's a difference between re-signing your own guys or adding new guys. I don't care what they do. Just they've let a lot of guys walk and neither added nor really kept anyone. With the exception of Ryan Griffin.
They're at a net negative right now.
Right.
Based on where they ended last season, this team is not as good as it was at the end of last year. At this stage today, March 21st,
and 2017. The problem is, like, other playoff teams, and granted, there are playoff teams spending money, you know, not like what the Patriots have done, but my point was that the Texans have spent almost the least. The Falcons have spent $34 million in free agency.
They went out and added a couple pieces.
The Broncos, $66 million. You know, these are the teams that are your kind of, I mean, I guess you ideally want them to be your peers. The Panthers, 96.5. Vikings, 95.7. The Ravens, $122.75 million for the Ravens this offseason.
Yeah, but they haven't been a playoff team for a couple years, though. So
no, well, I'm just throwing out teams that are spending money.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave you the list of teams that have spent less than the Texans. There's two of them. The Bengals, who have spent $0.17 million less than the Texans, and the Steelers, who have spent $6.45 million. The Steelers didn't have a ton of free agents, though.
Well, that seems low, though, because they gave Brown a new contract. They also franchised Bell. I would have thought they would have spent a lot more just on those two.
Well, that doesn't because those guys weren't going to be free agents. They weren't okay. Unrestricted free agents, but that doesn't count.
They did spend some money, though.
They did.
And this is almost an every other year thing with the Texans. One year they're very active, and then the next year they do absolutely nothing. So I don't know any good bets tonight. I might have a hockey bet tonight for you. Illinois State got me last night, too. But I did rally with with my Maple Leafs plus 1.5 goals, and they won outright. So, dead break even. 713-780-ESPN. Mott says, who they allowed to walk are easily replaceable or have people returning from injury.
But who are you going to replace them with? They're easily replaceable, but
yeah,
everybody else is getting these easily replaceable guys locked up. You know, and eventually, when you get this deep into free agency and you've done nothing, they're not that easily replaceable.
Well, they obviously think now, to an extent, I agree. We talked about corner. I had no problem with letting Bouye walk.
You can't replace AJ Bouye, but I do trust them to find somebody who can fill that role who can fill that hole in the secondary.
They already
and
got
eventually
that guy.
Grow.
Kevin Johnson's going to be that guy.
Right.
And he's
well, maybe.
No, I think he is. I think he's a better player than AJ Bouye, and I think he was playing great. Bouye would have never got the chance if he hadn't got hurt last year.
Yeah.
So,
but Kevin Johnson also is built like the kind of guy who's going to get hurt.
He is. But so is Bouye too, though.
Yeah.
He's kind of a slight guy. But the reality is, and you know, that's okay. But that's an area where you had depth. That's an area where you had people. I'm okay with it. Not really okay with just letting your offensive lineman walk when you're not adding anything there. And somebody brings up a really good point. Everybody's thinking Prescott's grow on trees.
Doesn't work that way.
No. If they did. And, I mean, I'm okay with the I'd almost be okay not taking a quarterback this year and doing what you said.
Just wait until next year.
Wait until next year.
Or
signing a veteran.
Yeah, I assume you have to sign a vet and then draft somebody in the fourth, fifth round at quarterback this year. But don't draft a guy you think is going to be your franchise quarterback this year, because I don't think there is a franchise quarterback
draft. I don't like any of these guys. I like the potential of a few guys, but like people are in love with Kaiser. I think that guy's a bum.
Good luck.
I don't see. And I like Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's going to go way higher than I would pick him. And if he were sitting there at 25, I'd be okay with that, because I think long term he might be really good. But long term,
and some of the guys they let walk, I would say aren't like, I don't think Quentin Dimes is easily replaceable. And relatively, it wasn't expensive. I mean, he's over the course of his deal, he's going to make $4 million more than Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
Who was more important to your team last year, Quentin Dimes or Ryan Griffin?
Yeah, I agree with. Let's let Lamont get in real quick. Go, Lamont.
Hey, man, what's up, fellas?
Sports, Lamont.
Hey, man, let me preface this by saying I really don't think that anything that the Texans do at quarterback, the Texans will have to do something really, a quarterback will have to be really special or prove something special in 2017 for him to overcome Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien is the albatross of that team right now. With that being said, I want to take you guys in another direction. Let's just say, for instance, David Gow had the draft every year, and he had to build up a team every year. Who's the most important? Man, I don't even much want to put it like that. I'll put it to you like this: if David Gow had to compose another team, another show, or shows, or station every year, who is he going to focus on? Is he going to focus on the Blitz, the anchor, or is he going to focus on everything surrounding it?
I understand what you're saying, but my point is the Texans haven't focused on their anchor. They haven't done anything. I mean, if the Texans had done something, like if the Texans added somewhere where I didn't think they needed, like if the Texans signed Adrian Peterson, I would say, okay, well, that's nice, but it doesn't make a lot of sense because it's not a great need for you. The Texans have all these needs and have done nothing to address them. And that's where my frustration is. And not only have they not addressed their needs by letting all these little replaceable pieces walk, now you're kind of running out of, I mean, because it's easy to say, okay, we'll just draft this guy, we'll draft a guy for here, draft a guy for here. But when you don't re-sign the guys that you had and you don't bring in new free agents, you only got a handful of picks. You know, and
I think what you're saying right now, AJ, is that, and I think you're looking at it from a local standpoint, but in reality, what's going on is Romo is holding up multiple teams. It's not only the Texans, man. A lot of teams are at a standstill right now. You know, they're doing onesies and twosies, but no one is acting crazy out there right now. Dallas is holding up a whole lot of stuff, and we're feeling it the most because we're local. But it's a whole bunch of teams that are holding up right now. Once Romo happens, I think free agency is going to go into a whole different direction. But, you know, I think we're creatures by habit, and we're used to this time of us having something to talk about, and we don't got nothing to talk about right now, so we kind of anxious right now. And, you know, it's more the whole Rockets man, I almost went to y'all uncensored show. It's more the Rockets trade deadline. We just got to do something because we got to do something. Man, all these people that we lost are replaceable parts to me. Even the AJ Bouye dude, they are replaceable parts. I think once they get the quarterback solidified, and I'm putting that in air quotes, I think everything is going to be good, man. Because at the end of the day, I don't think anything that the Texans do can overcome that coach. And that's all I have, fellas, and I'm out.
All right. I will say this, and when we say A.J. Bouye is replaceable, and that's why I hit on the Quentin Dimps thing. I said I thought they needed to re-sign one of those two guys. And because if you re-sign Quentin, you don't have to worry about what you're doing with Kareem. You don't have to think about him playing safety. You could put him there in the nickel, and that's what he'll do. But when you let both of them go, I think now you've got one too many holes and not enough bodies to fill them, at least not enough bodies that you would trust out there on the field. And again, I had no problem with them letting A.J. Bouye walk. A.J. Bouye is the highest paid guy in free agency this offseason, and I think it's ridiculous. Good for him. I would have never given him that dough. But like I said, I mean, you could have had Quentin Dimps for a million more dollars than it took you to keep Ryan Griffin. And no one's worried about who the second tight end is or shouldn't be worried about it.
All right, we'll address that when we come back. We're up against it here. I got to tell you about Harry's and how convenient it is to have my razors mailed to me where I don't have to go to the store. I don't have to do anything. I just go online, set it up. I get a great shave. I save a bunch of money, and it's convenient. And that's what Harry's is all about because they take less profit. They sell directly to you over the internet. And so their blades, just $2 a piece compared to $4, $5, $6 you'll pay if you go to the store and have to go through the hassle of them unlocking them for you. And they're so confident that you're going to love their blades, they're giving you their set for free. You just have to cover shipping. Your free trial set includes a Truman Set ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. That's $18. $18 value, and you get it for free. This offer is only available if you use promo code BLITZ at harrys.com when you check out. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer. $18 value for free, just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now and enter code BLITZ at checkout. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.